Chumash that says Tachas Hashem lo yabarat Hashem alakecha b'simcha b'tuv leivav leirov kol. We have to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu leisimcha. So the Gemara somehow derives, the Gemara in Erechin derives from that pasuk that you have to have Shiras HaLeviim at the time that the Kohanim are pouring the Yayin, when you have Nisuch HaYayin. That's what Tosfos quotes. Einamim Shira Ela LaYayin. That's what Tosfos quotes over here. And Laman on the base, to Gemara Brachas, Laman Hei. Einamim Shira Ela LaYayin. At the time the Kohanim are pouring the wine down the Shisin, down the pipes in the Mizbeach, the Levim would be standing on the Duchen, and they would be playing the music and singing the Shir Shoyom. So before the days of David HaMelech, they used to say other Shir Shoyom. After David HaMelech composed Tehillim, he's referred to Beruach HaKodesh as Ne'im Zmiris Yisrael, the one who sang, composed beautiful nigun, beautiful poems. So we recite Shir Shoyom. Everything is from Tehillim. So Yom Rishon HaYom, Yom Sheni, each day of the week they said different. Shabbos, on Shabbos they said Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos at the time of Nisuch HaYayin of the Tumah Shel Shachar. Then when they did the Musafim, the Gemara says over here, Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph, you have the Tosfos HaZivloch, so two lines above that, the Gemara says after the period, Yechayenu MiYomayim, Gemara says, B'Musafi D'Shabbat Amayi HaYom, when they did the Nisuch HaYayin, after the Korbanos HaMusafim, what Shir Shal Yom did the Levim sing then? When they did Nisuch HaYayin and the Tumah Shel Shachar, they said Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. When they did Nisuch HaYayin by the Musafim, what did they sing? So the Gemara says, HaZivloch. What is HaZivloch? HaZivloch is the Rosh Tevis of the six sections of HaAzino. HaAzino is a poem. Whenever you read a poem, if you stopped in the wrong place, it killed the whole meaning of the poem. So you have to divide the poem of HaZivloch as a Shira, as a poem. So you have to divide the HaZivloch. Exactly what are the six Hapsokas? So there are a few versions over here. So Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, and they quote Masechus Sofrim and Rashi, they're different versions. The way it's printed in our Chumashim, the first ones who printed a Jewish Chumash was Sansino. So Sansino was Sfardim in Italy. So they put in the Sfardish Hapsokas. And the Mishnah Berurah says, Nara Nara Upashte. That's an expression that appears in the Gemara. The river forks out to its different tributaries. So it means each community has its own minhagim. Nara Nara Upashte. So the Mishnah Berurah says, the Sfardim should follow the Sfardish minhagim. Ashkenazim should follow the Ashkenazim minhagim. The Pashta says that the way it's printed by us in the Chumash, that's the Sfardish. So those of us who are Sfardim should follow those of Sukkahs. Those of Ashkenazim should follow probably Rashi, the Pashtas. So I live in Washington Heights, where they have the German community, the Yekkes from Frankfurt. So Rabbi Breuer, every year on Shabbos Parshas Hazinu, would always make a big fuss that they shouldn't stop where it's printed in the Chumash, they should stop where the German minig is, like Rashi. A lot of shuls, they Ashkenazim, and they're doing Sfardish HaPsokas. That's the Pashtus, that's not right. What kind of a din is this? The Gemara says, Keder Shachalukim Kan, the same way the Levim would divide up HaAzinu. The Gemara is going to explain what it means. The first Shabbos, that they open up the Beis HaMikdash. So the first Shabbos, they're going to say the first six psukim in HaAzinu. The next Shabbos, the Levim will sing the next six psukim in HaZinu. Next Shabbos is going to say the next. So it took 6 weeks till they finished the whole HaZinu. Then on the seventh Shabbos, it would start again from HaZinu. Then the eighth Shabbos, they would say Zchori Ma'asadim, and so on. So what kind of a din is this? What kind of a din is this? HaZivloch. Akpeda, you have to dafke stop like this. In the Shulchan Aruch, it says, the Ramah quotes earlier poskim, that this insistence that you have to read The first aliyah has six psukim, next aliyah has six psukim, next aliyah has six psukim. This is only on Shabbos Hazina. When you're laning the whole sedra, then you should pause these hapsokas. What about Sheni v'chamishi of the week of Hazinu? Also, you have to lay in a half a sedra every Monday and Thursday morning. So the Ramos Mekali says no. All week long, in the middle of the week, you don't have to stop Hazinu at these locations. You just read three psukim for the Kohen, three psukim for the Levi, and then the Shlishi can also get three psukim. Some poskim have the practice that even Sheni v'chamishi also, Lubavitch has that minhag. That they're makben ha'ziv loch, even the Sheni v'chamishi, even the Shabbos before, Shabbos afternoon, the mincha. When you're laying, what's the sedra before hazina? Vayelach, it's all vayelach hazino. So on Shabbos afternoon, a vayelach, and you're laying the mincha hazino, how do you have to pause? So in the Ramon, Shulchan Aruch says, you don't have to be makben for ha'ziv loch. You just give three aliyahs and shoin. And others have the practice like Lubavitch that they insist on laying half a sedra. Yeah, so Lechik was machmer on that because he was brought up in a Lubavitch community, and he said that it could be that it's a din deraisa, could be that it's an isa deraisa to stop in the wrong place. Why? So he pointed out that the Turi Evin here on Turi Evin and Sefer by the Shagasaria on the Gemara. So the Turi Evin quotes an issue that's discussed by the Magen Avraham on the Shulchan Aruch. There seems to be a contradiction between two Gemaras. The Gemara Megillah talks about Kriyas HaTorah. So the Gemara says, "Kol psuka dolei paske Moshe anan loy paskina." When you're laying in Kriyas HaTorah, you can't give an aliyah and stop in the middle of a pasuk. And then there's a Gemara in Brachas that says, "Not kol psuka dolei kol parsha dolei paske Moshe anan loy paskina." The Gemara says, we say Shema Vayoyim Shemoya, and then we say Vayoyimer. Why do we recite Vayoyimer? Why do we read Vayoyimer? Not because of tzitzis. There's no mitzvah to read about tzitzis every day, because of the last pasuk. Anei Hashem Elokecha Moshe Hotzei Seischem Yeretz Mitzrayim. There's a din of Zechira Sitzias Mitzrayim. On Pesach night, there's a mitzvah of Sipi Sitzias Mitzrayim. Tell the story about Barichas. Thank you. And all year long, there isn't a din of Sipur. Barichas, a din of Zechira Sitzias Mitzrayim, to mention Bekitzer. So we yotze with the last pasuk. Anei Hashem Elokecha Moshe Hotzei Seischem Yeretz Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says in Brachas, in the first parak, Bikshu, there was a suggestion. Then instead of just reading such a bland pasuk, why not read a flowery pasuk in Parshas Balak? You have Bilam's Nevuah. Kel motziyom mitzrayim kisafos re'eim lo. That's a fancier pasuk about Sechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kel motziyom mitzrayim kisafos re'eim lo. That God is so powerful, he took the Jews out of Mitzrayim. The Gemara says it's not a smart idea to say that pasuk, because if you say that pasuk, then it'll take you forever, because you have to. There's a din called Parsha that I pass Ken Moshe, and not like Paskino. And the Nevuah's Bilam goes on and on and on. It's very long. So they have to say the whole Nevuah. So the Magen Avraham is bothered with the Kasha. In the Gila, the Gemara says only a din called Psukha that I pass Ken Moshe. You're not allowed to say half a Pasuk. The Gemara in Brocha said there's a din called Parsha that I pass Ken Moshe. Not allowed to stop in the middle of a Parsha. Parsha doesn't mean Parsha Sashavua. A parsha means from a psucha to a stuma, from a stuma to a psucha. That's a paragraph in the Sefer Torah. Whenever you have a psucha, a stuma, there's an empty space. And you have a new paragraph. So you're not allowed to stop in the middle of the paragraph. So which is it? Is it a din? You're not allowed to stop in the middle of the paragraph. You're not allowed to stop in the middle of a pasuk. So different suggestions are given. So the Magen Avraham gives suggestions. Others give suggestions. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that it's all the same din. So he thought like this, the basic din is that Kriyas HaTorah has to be Kichsova. Like Kriyas Shema has to be Kichsova. You have to recite Shema. You're not Yotze if you say all the ideas that are contained within Shema. Let's say, I'm going to say, Abrecha Bar Misot B'Ahavot. So I'm going to say, we believe in monotheism, and we believe in loving God, and we believe you have to wear Tefillin Shel Yad, you have to wear Tefillin Shel Rosh, you have to have mezuzah on the doorpost, you have to teach Torah to your children. It has to be either kichsova, you read the Hebrew, or you have to translate kichsova. You have to have a literal translation. I think we mentioned it. Rabbi Kiveg even says, "Vavadat meher me'al ha'oretz ha'toivo." So in the German translation, the Yiddish German translations, they said, Bravada de Mehera, we will be sent out of Eretzal Me'al Ha'oretz HaTayr, from the good land. In English, or in German, or Hebrew, you say Ha'oretz HaTayva. In Hebrew, you say first the noun and then the adjective. Ha'oretz HaTayva, Ha'yelet HaTov. In English, you don't say the boy good, you say the good boy. So when they have in English Sidurim, or in German Sidurim, Rabbi Kivege had Germany, he lived in Germany, so he says, the good land, you will be chased out of the good land. Rabbi Kivege said, you're not Yotze with that, it has to be a literal translation. So you have to say like that, you will be chased, Bavadat Mehera, you will be chased out soon, Me'al Ha'oretz HaTayva, from the land, the good. How do you say? He said, land which is good, you have to say like that. But he can't say from the good land. He thinks it has to be literal translation, word for word, literal translation. That poses problems. Hey, but even if you disagree with that, Rabbi Kivege, has to be kechsavai. So the shaila is, when is it a violation of kechsavai? So the Gemara says in Megillah, Kriyas HaTorah was instituted by the Chachamim in units of psukim. Every aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim, and the Kriyas HaTorah has to have a minimum of 10 psukim. Even though you give 3 aliyahs, and should be each aliyah should be a minimum of 3, so it should have been enough with 9 psukim. Mora says, no, the Kriyas HaTorah, the whole unit should be a minimum of 10 psukim, and each single aliyah should be a minimum of 3 psukim. So since you're working, then the Gemara says, on Shabbos you need 7 aliyahs, you have to have a minimum of 21 psukim. So that's why the Haftorah was instituted, has to have a minimum of 21 psukim, unless it's Shalom and Yona. Unless you finish the whole topic, then even if it's less than 21 psukim, it's good. So you see in Kriyas HaTorah, all the Gemaras and Megillah, everything goes in units of how many psukim. So since the unit that you're working with is a pasuk, so if you'll stop in the middle of a pasuk, you give 2.5 psukim, give 4.5 psukim for an aliyah, that's a violation of Sheloi Kechsovoi. So that's why the Gemara says there in Megillah, when you get to Kriyas HaTorah, called psukim de lepaske moshe, anan lepaskino. Because the unit that you're working with, that it's called Kilsav, is a unit of psukim. When you're saying Kriya Shema, you want to say the third Shema V'Yom Shema, is a whole parsha. You don't just say that pasuk, Yishinatam L'Avanecha, B'Shach B'Chav Kamecha, Namatam L'Saz Menechem, B'Shach B'Chav Kamecha. You don't just say that one pasuk, you have to say the whole parsha Shema, the whole parsha of V'Yom Shema. So the Chachamim instituted that you should say Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, in conjunction with Shema, it has to be a whole parsha. You can't just say one pasuk. You can't just say one pasuk, because the unit that you're working with in Kriya Shema is the unit of parsha. So there, the Gemara says, if you'll choose that pasuk, Kel Motziyam Mitzrayim Kisof Asre'im Lo, you'll have to say the whole Nebuas Bilam from the beginning to the end, because it's one long parsha, and the din is called Parsha Dole Paske Moshe. So they should thought that the din of Hazivlach is also similar. You have to lay in Hazina, but there is a poem. And a poem, if you stop in the wrong place, you kill the whole poem. In English, also like that. If you stop in the wrong place, you give a whole different meaning to the poem. So that Tanoim, so the Gemara has the din, they had a tradition based on Migdosh, Hazivlach, that there are 3 different shittas. What is the Rosh HaTevis of Hazivlach? What is it? So that's the Mishnah Berurah says, Nara Nara Upashte. So here, if you'll stop in a different place, you'll be changing the nature of the poem. So that's Shaloi Kichsavoi. Psukim have to be read the Torah Psukim. Parsha has to be read the Torah Parsha. So the din is called Parsha Le Paskim. And a poem has to be read the Torah poem. So if you're going to stop in the Shira, in the wrong place, when they originally composed the Shira, there was no pause over there. So you're not allowed to stop in the middle of a Shira. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. When you're laying, you can make a sofis in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. Can't make a sofis in the middle of Oz Yashir. Because Oz Yashir is a poem. And a poem, you only can stop where it was intended by the author. In Oz Yashir, there are no hafsokas. Hazinu has a tradition that these are the hafsokas. Then the Gemara says, by Thomas Shalbein HaBayim on Shabbos, they had a third Shir Shal Yom. By the Thomas Shashach, the Shir Shal Yom is Mitzvah Shal Yom Shabbos. By Musaf, the Shir Shal Yom was Hazivloch. And then by Thomas Shalbein Abayim, the Shir Shal Yom was Oz Yashir, Micha Mocha, the second half Oz Yashir, and Oz Yashir, the Shiras HaBe'er. So this is an important din. This is quoted in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to be mafsik in the middle of Haziv Lach. Okay. Then the Gemara has on the first wide line, after the narrow lines, the first wide line. Es amasa es nasa shchina mikroi. You see psukim in Tanakh that when the Shechina left the Beis Hamikdash by Churban Bayis Rishon, it went in 10 steps. Ukenegna until it went to the seventh heaven. Ukenegna Golsa Sanhedrin Migemore. The Golsa Sanhedrin, that was the end of the Churban Bayis Sheni. So there's no psukim in Tanakh about that. The Tanakh was finished at the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. Chagas Chaim Malachi were the last ones who have Torah Shebichsav in Trei Osar. So the fact that at the time Churban Bayis Sheni, the Sanhedrin went into Golus in 10 stages, that's the Gemara. That's an oral tradition. That doesn't appear in Tanakh. The Gemara spells out the Psukim, where you see that it was 10 stages. Then the Gemara spells out the bottom line. The Kenegna, Gol Sanhedrin, the Gemara, the tradition, what are they? Gemara says, Lishkasar, that's not. Why did the Sanhedrin go into self-imposed Golus 40 years before the Churban Abayis? That's what the Sanhedrin says, because they saw that there were murderers all over the place, and it was their responsibility to supervise all the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin Gdola was in charge of all the Sanhedrin Tana. Sanhedrin Tana has a bezin of 23, and they're supposed to take care of Din Nefoshes, and they were not taking care. So the Sanhedrin felt it's not right. We're sitting in the Beis Hamikdash with the covered, with the glory and the honor, with Mem Sanhedrin, we're not doing our job. So they felt it's not right. So they resigned. They all left. They went into self-imposed Golus to the Chanus, Machanus, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, the Yavne, and back and forth and so on. And the Gemara says, we have a tradition, Misham Asidim Lehigoyal. Let's say every day when the Bez Nahagodol would go home, they would meet all day long, and then they would go home. In the afternoon, the Gemara tells you how long the Sanhedrin. There's a Tosef that tells you how long the Sanhedrin Gdolah sat. They sat longer. The Sanhedrin Tana is only a bezin of 3 years. Sanhedrin Tana is functions to be done din imam and it's a din nefashos. So there's only on Shabbos and Yom Tov they don't meet because exevishem leyichto. But and they don't sit all day long. But the Sanhedrin Gdolah is the international koilel of Klal Yisrael, so they're supposed to learn longer hours, and the koilel of Klal Yisrael, the Sanhedrin Gdolah, is supposed to be in session even on Shabbos and Yom Tov. There's no Gzeir Hashem Yichtov by them. They're not paskin, they're not being done any cases. They're just talking and learning, reviewing the whole Masor. So they used to meet even on Shabbos and Yom Tov. They had longer hours. Every day they would go home, and then they would come back the next morning. They reconvened. So the Gemara says there has been a pause since the year 30 when they went into self-imposed exile 40 years before the Churban Abayis in the year 70. So they didn't go back the next morning, but when the Bez Nagodah Bill reconvened, they will reconvene in the same location where they last met. Where was the last time? Tveria. So that's the tradition. The Rambam quotes all of this. That's the tradition that Bez Nagodah Bill reconvene in Tveria. That's what the Rambam raises the question. The Gemara says in Erevin, commenting on the pasuk in Malachi. Malachi signs off. He knows he's the last Navi. The next Navi is going to be Eliyahu HaNavi, the day before Mashiach. So he says, Zichu Teres Moshe Avdi. You better observe the mitzvahs. I'm the last Navi. Kadosh Baruch Hu not going to send any more Neviim. Kadosh Baruch Hu is angry at Bnei Yisrael because they had an opportunity to return back to Eretz Yisrael after the 70 years of Golus Babel, and the Ruben didn't go back. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said he's going to punish them, not going to send any more Neviim. The role of the Navi is to give Musar and Tochacha that the people should do tshuva, not to be punished. Kadosh Baruch Hu is angry, he's not going to send any more. So the Navi Malachi knows he's the last Navi. We said they needed the 3 Nevi'im, Chagas HaMelech, were needed. Without a Navi, you have no right to build the Beis HaMikdash. The Pasuk says, L'shich Nesir Rishu, and Parshas Re'eh, and the Sifrei says on that Pasuk, Rosh Al Pi Navi. Can only build the Beis HaMikdash under the auspices of a Navi. So each one of the 3 Nevi'im, Chagas HaMelech, had to give a Nevuah on a particular aspect of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and then Malachi signs off, that's it. And he said, the next Navi is going to be Eliyahu HaNavi before Mashiach. So Eliyahu Navi will appear in the presence of the Sanhedrin, which will reconvene in Tveria, and he will identify who the Melech HaMashiach is tomorrow. Fine. So the Rambam raises a question, but there's no smicha today. Smicha conked out in the days of the Amoraim. You can only confer smicha in Eretz Yisrael. Smicha that we have today is only imitation smicha. We mentioned the Rambam quotes from the Abarbanel, the one place in Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam quotes Abarbanel, Yeridei Hilchas Hayruah Sisa Ve'etah, that the smicha we have today is imitation smicha. So you can't have a Bez Nagadol unless they have bona fide smicha. So how are we going to have a Bez Nagadol? The smicha institution is dead now. So how can you have a Bez Nagadol? It's impossible. So the Rambam writes in three places, he thinks here, royally, thinks there's probably such a thing as Chiddush HaSmicha. But all the Rabbonim and Eretz Yisrael gathered together, and they decide to confer Smicha, that's also a valid Smicha. Smicha has to be, if it's a private person, he didn't join with all the other Rabbonim and Eretz Yisrael, so then you need three people to confer Smicha. But the Rambam writes, not all three of them have to have smicha themselves. One of them has to have smicha, otherwise it won't be Ish Mipish and Moshe Rabbeinu. The other two can be Balabatim. You just need a Bezdin. When you have a Bezdin who's Paskin and Gashadin, then you need all the members of the Bezdin to have to have smicha. The Rambam holds a din of smicha, it's a din of Paskinim. Tosis and Rashi hold on to Tosis Shita, the smicha is a din of Bezdin. It's not a din of Paskinim. But the Rambam's Shita clearly is, smicha is a din of Paskinim. So when you're conferring smicha, you're not paskening anything. You're just conferring smicha. Let's say someone else sends a letter to three rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael that Reuven deserves smicha. They can give smicha without giving him a bechina. They can rely on the other guy. They do the maisa smicha. They don't have to pasken that he knows how to learn, that he's worthy of being ordained. So the Rambam writes, smicha, you have to have a bezna of three. One of them has to have smicha, ish, mipish, and moshe abdeinu. Otherwise, the one is receiving the smicha won't be ish, mipish. And the other two can be balabatim. So the Rambam says that's when a private person wants to give smicha, he's not gathering together all the rabbonim, then he needs a bezna of three, and one of them should be has smicha, ish, mipish, and moshe abdeinu. But if all of the Rabbanim gather together in Eretz Yisrael, then Klal Yisrael is really giving the smicha. Klal Yisrael gives the smicha. It's based on the Pasuk Chumash with Tzivi, so also the Aneim that we read when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to confer smicha on Yeshua ben Nun in the presence of Klal Yisrael. Why in the presence? Because the power of the smicha comes from Klal Yisrael. So that's what the Rambam thinks. If all the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael gather together, they can reinstitute smicha. They can do chiddush smicha. So that's in the 1500s. That chiddush smicha in Tzfat, they gave smicha to Rabbi Yosef Karo and to the Alshech, and to a few Amari Beirav, who was the Rebbe of the Rabbi Yosef Karo. And then after a few years later, they gave another couple of people smicha. Got smicha. Then the whole thing conked out. They were planning to make Bezdin of Smuchim in order to give Malkus to the people who had worshipped Avodah Zarah during the Spanish Inquisition. Many, many people were not Maisa Nefesh. Many people worshipped Avodah Zarah in order to save their lives. And so they felt that they were Chayv Koris. The Rambam holds that they're not Chayv Koris. Even though it's a Horeg Bal Yavar, but since he worshipped Avodah Zarah, Mach Masoinis, to save his life, so the Rambam writes that there's no Koris. But other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. Guess Mishnah quotes the Ramach, just like we have Hasokas Haravid every so often on the Ramam. So the Guess Mishnah had another set, additional set of Hasokas by the Ramach, Ramosha HaKoyin, also around that time, has Hasokas on the Ramam. So the Ramach says, what do you mean? The Ramah says no chorus, but it's Yehorek, well, yeah, but there should be chorus. So the Gemara says in Makkas, Chaybekishu Shaloko Nifturu Midei Krisusam. If a person deserves an anish of Koris, but the Bezdin gives a Malkus, and then he won't be punished with the Koris. So he wanted to relieve those who had worshipped Avodah Zarah at the time of the Spanish Inquisition. They wanted to relieve them from the Koris. That's the whole motivation in the first place. So they wanted to confer smicha in order to give Malkus. But nothing ever came out of it. The whole thing was an aborted effort, and it fell apart. But many of the Sfaradim always follow Moran HaBes Yosef because they feel that he got smicha, since he was one of the lucky winners. He got smicha, They thought that's min hashamayim that we should paskan like him. Okay, that's this gemara. And a few years ago, when a group of rabbonim in Eretz Yisrael, under the leadership of Rabbi Adin Steinsaltz, he was a very colorful character with a capital K. So he was very colorful. So they put together a Sanhedrin in Tverian. Because the Gemara says, and then we'll reconvene in Tverian. Okay, good enough. So the next Mishnah is continuing to list off the nine takonis of Rabbi Yechman Zak. Amishel Mekach, Ozos his Rabbi Yechman Zak, he's mentioning all the takonis. He says, don't forget the following one. That strictly speaking, the witnesses who saw the Levon have to go to whatever the Rosh HaSanhedrin happens to be. But sometimes the Rosh HaSanhedrin had to go travel to Rome in order to negotiate with the emperor, with the heads of state over there, with the governors over there. So the Rosh HaSanhedrin is not always in his office. So Rabbi Yechon Mezak made a takana shafil, the Rosh Bezim, even if the head of the Sanhedrin, Kol Mokim, wherever he happens to be, traveling over the world to represent the Jewish people, the Eidim don't have to go to him. The Eidim should only go to Makam Avad, where the office is. Why the Gemara says, comes this, Nitzat Machshilim, Masid Lover. They're gonna come to the office where he's supposed to be. They're going to find out that they traveled in vain. He's in a different location. So every month the witnesses have to find out. How are they going to find out where the Rosh HaSanhedrin is? May the Takana, the Rosh HaSanhedrin, is not the Akev. The Rosh HaSanhedrin should be Mechel on his Kavod, and wherever the official office is, that's where they should go. So Gemara tells a story. There was once a Din Torah, and Amema sent a Hazmana to the woman who had to appear in a Din Torah. And he himself traveled to Machuzah. So the woman didn't want to follow. The woman didn't want to travel to Machuzah. So he put her in Cherem. He put the woman in Cherem because she refused to show up to the Bezdin. So Rav Ashi raised an issue by Meimar, but that's not fair. You happen to travel to Machuzah. But that's the Takanos of Yechem and Zakai, that the Eidim are not Mechuyif to go to wherever the Rosh Sanhedrin is. The Eidim should go to wherever the office is. So the office is in Ardo. You happen to travel to Malchuzah, that's not fair. So Amemar responded, no, that takan in the mission, that's only by Kiddush HaKodesh. Because the concern says, Achta Machshulam Lasid Lava. But here, Amemar sent her a letter. I want you to appear in my presence, and I'm going to be, the next month, I'm going to be in Malchuzah. And she didn't come. So she's supposed to respond. She's supposed to respond to the husband. Okay. Then the Gemara lists off the rest of the takanas. They're not allowed to wear leather shoes when they duchen. Why is that? So in the history books they write it's a zecha l'migdosh, because in the Beis Hamikdash no one's allowed to wear leather shoes. The Gemara in Chagiga in the first parak says mi bikeshes meyadchem irmos chatzeroi. Mos chatzeroi means you're trampling my Beis Hamikdash because you walk in wearing leather shoes. The soldiers, there are Jewish soldiers who are in guard in Arabayis. It's under Jewish control, so the Jewish soldiers, Jewish army, responsible to maintain the peace there. So the poskim told them years ago they should wear sneakers. They're not allowed to wear leather shoes because of that din. So in the history books they write that this takona, that the Kohanim should not wear leather shoes when they duchen. They can wear sneakers, they can wear slippers, but they shouldn't wear leather shoes. That's a zechel amigdosh. All over the world, where the Kohanim are going to duchen, they should act like in the Beis Hamikdash. In the Beis Hamikdash, they're not allowed to wear shoes. But that's not the reason that the Gemara gives. But the Gemara quotes this. According to the Gemara, has a whole different reason. And the reason the Gemara gives is that sometimes, if the kohen is wearing shoes with shoelaces, when the days of the Gemara, they didn't have shoelaces like we have. They used to have shoe straps. If you ever saw a chalitza shoe, so it has straps, just like tefillin, like mitzvahs of tefillin. So every so often, the shoelaces get untied. So if the kohen is going to be walking up to go to duchen, and the shoelaces is going to get untied, He's going to bend over and start to tie shoelaces and not going to go up to Duchen. People will think, even though the guy's been Duchening for the last 50 years, I think he must have just found out that he's not a Kohen, that he's a Chavol. So in order, because he was busy tying shoelaces, he didn't go up. It's a very strange reason. It sounds better than the reason that the history books give, but that's the reason that the Gemara gives. So that's why they made a takana that the Kohenim shouldn't wear, even a chutz l'migdash, you've got to wear shoes. They made a takana, the Kohenim should not wear shoes because of this possibility. He may be busy tying the shoelaces and he won't go to say Yivrecha Hashem Yishmerecha. So the people will think that maybe they just discovered that he's a chum. It's a funny reason. Very strange. Yeah.
If there's a Kohen that's, for some reason, let's say he's not realizing in Chazaras HaShas that it's the time for Duchen, and then he realizes, that the people are going up. So should he leave? I mean, is there that same issue today?
Yeah, he should. If the Kohen is not going to Duchen for some reason or another, he should leave. So they shouldn't think that he's in violation of the din. When they call out Kohanim, that's the tzivui. We want you to give us a bracha. The din is, it says, Kos Rochas Bnei Yisrael, Amor Lahem. So the simple pshat, Kos Rochas Bnei Yisrael, the Kohanim should say, Amor Lahem, the Kohanim should say to the tzibur. And the Torah Shabbat interprets, just in addition to the Pshutu Shal Mikra, Torah Shabbat interprets, Amor Lahem means the opposite. The tzibur should say to the Kohanim that we want you to give a bracha. So Kozman the tzibur doesn't ask for a bracha, the Kohanim are not obligated. That's why the minig is in Chutz Lars by the Ashkenazim, that we don't ask him to give us a bracha. So we don't ask, so they're not mechuyev. We're only mechuyev when we request of them a bracha. The Taisus and Brachas points out that who says Kohanim? Who does the tzibur? So Taisus thinks that it's not the Chazan. If the Chazan is going to scream out loud Kohanim, that should be a hepsik in the Chazaras HaShatz. So they say someone else will call out Kohanim. And if the Chazan is going to say Yivarechecha, say Hashem, say Yishmerecha, will also be a hepsik in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz. The Chazan, the Shlech Tzibur, should neither scream out Kohanim, nor should he say Yivarecha Hashem Yishmerecha, to prompt them what to say. Tosis says, our practice is that the Chazan does say Yivarecha Hashem Yishmerecha, he prompts them, because he says, Elokeinu Kasein v'chein v'arbrachim shalos v'atayra. So it fits in, the psukim v'recha yor yisad fit in to the tefillah that he says, Elokeinu l'kei v'seinu. So the Ramos says, the Chazan should say, when there are no Kohanim duchening, then the Chazan says, Elokeinu Kasein v'chein v'arbrachim, says it out loud. But if there are Kohanim, then the Ramos says, the proper recommended minig is that the Chazan should say Lekeinu Kevaseinu softly. Then when he comes to the time, Bachem Bachem Shal Batok, so I'm a PR on the board of Kohanim, it should scream out Kohanim out loud. So it's not a hefsik because it's saying it's part of that tefillah, part of Lekeinu Kevaseinu. But it also, it serves as part of the tefillah, also serves as a tzibur to the Kohanim that they should duchen. And then when the Chazan says, Yivarecha Hashem Yishmerecha, Yerushem Parim Elecha, that will not be a hefsik, because he said, Elokeinu Kevaseinu, so it's all part of that bakosh. Rav Soloveitchik thought, not like the Ramah, he thought that it doesn't help if the Chazan is going to say Balachash, because the Chazaras HaShatz is really the Tzibur, it's the Tfilas HaTzibur, on behalf of the whole minion, he's saying the Chazaras HaShatz. So whatever they don't hear is considered as if he didn't say. So he thought that the practice should be, like the Ramah, the Chazan should say everything, but he should say everything out loud. Everything out loud, not the balachash. Over here, they tell me that in a lot of shuls, someone screams out Kohanim, but then the Chazan doesn't say Lekeinu Kevaseinu, but he says Yivarechecha. So that's a stira. The Ramah says, he only says the Chazan. If he says Yivarechecha, that's a hepsik. Like if he says Kohanim, that's a hepsik. Unless he says it is part of the tchila, part of the tchina and the tfila. But if he's not saying the tfila, just like he doesn't say Kohanim, he shouldn't say Yivarechecha either.
In that same case, if the
coin
doesn't have time to wash the
hand
before going, can
he
still go up?
I don't think so. That's not right. The Gemara has taken from the Netilas Yadayim Brocha. So the Gemara Brochas has it twice. Take from the Netilas Yadayim, you should wash and not pause too long between Netilas Yadayim and Hamotzi. And before my Machrani, before Brochas Hamotzi also, you shouldn't wash Mayim Achrayim too far in advance. You should wash right before. So Taisus in Soto is Mesupik, whether the din of Tekev, the Nitilus Adam Bracha, applies to Duchening. Can you rely on the Nitilus Adam that you did when you woke up in the morning, or do you have to wash specifically right before you Duchen? So Misofik, you go to Chum in both directions. So we require the Kodim they should wash their hands again, but they don't say a Bracha, because maybe they can rely on the Nitilus Adam that they did in the morning. Unless the Kohen had to go to the bathroom, let's say Yom Kippur, to Nila, he certainly went to the bathroom in the course of the day. So then the Pashtus is, if he's washing, if he has to wash, he can't rely on it until some that he didn't want, he has to wash again. He really ought to say, Brocha, I should get a shot of himself, so it's the one on until the Sadaim. That's what it should be. So the Mishnah Brura quotes, I think that the old rabbi, one of the Achaim says, no, we don't even in such a case. The Kohanim don't say a bracha when they wash until the Sadaim, because maybe the Chachamim are never misakin a bracha on this until the Sadaim for washing your hands before Duchani. It's a difficult svara, because the Pashto says the Chachamim didn't have to make a takona on each and every mitzvah. Lahadik Ner Shal Shabbos and Lahadik Ner Shal Chanukah and Mikra Megillah. Every mitzvah, they made a takana. They made one general takana. Kala mitzvahs kulim. Baruch aleim, over lasi asam. You should always say a bracha before you do a mitzvah. Pashto said they didn't have to make a takana for each mitzvah individually. But that's the minute. The Kohanim don't say a bracha if they wash their hands, even if they know for sure that they have to wash their hands. But if he can't, if he's not able, doesn't have enough time to wash his hands before he duchens, I think that Pashto says we would assume that that's meyakim. We're not sure. We treat it as a sveka nidina. Can the Kohen rely on the Nitilus Adayim that he did earlier in the day? So we treat it like a sveka nidina. We insist that he should wash again. We probably say he should walk out. He should not do it. Then the Gemara has a din. Kol Kohen Shalaka Ragla Biritzei Ba'avoida. The bracha of Ritzei is called Avoida. So the Kohen has to start moving towards the duchening before the chazan finishes the bracha ritzei.
What about a
coin
in the middle of
Shmoneh
Esrei?
No, you shouldn't duchen. It's a hepsik, and not allowed to be mafsik in the middle of Shmoneh
Esrei. But should he walk out? Because if he walks out, he can take away the chazan. But the only hepsik in Shmoneh Esrei, the only real hepsik is dibur, so he can walk out and walk back in and come back.
It's a question whether walking is a hefsek. I don't think, I have to look in Shulchan, I don't think it's right to walk out. Then people will see, he's in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, he can't do it. I don't think he walks out. I don't think so. Nachamo, so the Gemara said, made a takana that the Kohen should not wear shoes. Yeah. What if he's wearing sneakers with shoelaces? So many amekom. In Breyers, they wear sneakers with shoelaces. They say the takana was only on leather shoes, even though the reason for the takana was that the shoelaces may get untied, and then he may be busy tying the shoelaces, and the people would think that he's not a kohen. But the takana only was not allowed to wear leather shoes. They never made a takana not allowed to wear any shoes that have the straps. It's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch whether that's correct or not. So that's one of the nine takonas. V'zu echad mita should say achas. Achas mitesha takonas sheiskin Rabbi Chaim Zakkai. Most has six in this parak, and they're going to list off the others. Another one is Gershon is Gayer. What's a din? All the laws of Geras are learned out from Maimon Hasina. That's a Gemara in Krisis, Daf Tes, Omid Aleph. Learned out from a Pasuk in Chumash. That the Jewish people before Yetzias Mitzrayim, before Korban Pesach, had to go through bris milah, because the din is kol oral eichabo. An oral that doesn't have a bris milah is not allowed to eat korban pesach. So the Gemara understands that the bris milah in Mitzrayim before Yetzias Mitzrayim is not only for the purpose of enabling them to eat the korban pesach kol oral eichabo. It was the beginning of the geiris process. The milah was l'shem mitzvah, but that was the geirah. A Gershon is Geyer, has to have a bris milah. Then it says, before Maimon HaSinai, all the married people had to be purish from the marital relations, because a balkeri, or a woman who's a paleta sheikh vazera, wasn't permitted to participate in Maimon HaSinai. So the simple reading of the Chumash sounds like The single people didn't have to go to mikveh, only the married people, those men who are balkari and those women who are polet to shechlezer, they had to go to mikveh. The Gemara says that that's not true. The married people had to be purished 3 days before, because the woman can theoretically be polet to shechlezer up until 3 days later. But the single people also had to go to mikveh. Everybody had to go to mikveh, because that's a din for a ger. So you need mila tefila. Then everybody said nasav and ishma. So that's kabbalas on mitzvah. So you need mila tefila, kabbalas on mitzvahs. And then you also need korban. That it says in the end of Parshas Mishpatim that they brought korbanas. So the Gemara asked the question, so how are we makabla ger mizbanazet? There's no bis amigdush and no korbanas. The Gemara learns out from a pasuk that the korbanas are not miyakev. There's a pasuk that says, uchi yogurit mache ger, the deres sechem, which implies he can accept the ger in all generations. And the Chumash talks about a generation where there won't be a Beis HaMikdash. Vashemel says, Mikdash Shechem, Eloi Arich, Berech, Nichoy Chachem. So the Torah speaks of a possibility of a generation. Of Hashemel says, Mikdash Shechem, and nonetheless, Chiyog Yerit Chmager, the Dorah Sechem. The Gemara says, the Karbonus Anam Miyakeh. So after the Chumash, Bizman Shah Beis HaMikdash, Hayekayim, all of the ger brought a Korban to the Beis HaMikdash. After the Churban Abayis, you can be Mekabal Ager. So it says, Ger Shin is Gair, Bizman Azeh, Tzoch Shiafresh Rova Lekina. What Korban does he have to bring? He has to bring a Korban Oil. He doesn't have to bring a Korban Oil. Spain will cost $2,000, a fortune of money. He can bring another Sa'if, which is much less expensive. So that will cost a few dollars. So let him set aside an amount of money that he'll be able to bring an oil, a ken. A ken is a nest. A ken means a korban oaf that has two birds in it. A ken has to have two birds. Once, sometimes a ken is a chata soif and an oil soif, and sometimes it's two oil soif. Here by the ger, who doesn't want to bring, if he brings oil spain, but that's wonderful. But that'll cost him a fortune. You have to be able to afford that. But he can bring an oil soif, that'll be two oil soifs. Mafresh Rova the kid, why does he have to set aside the money that if the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt during his lifetime, he'll take that money and he'll buy the korban. So why does he have to set aside the money? Why does he have to set aside the money? Here, the Gemara continues, Amar Abshem Elazar, Kranimda Oleh, Rabbi Hamazaka, Bitla, Mnea Takola. This was, Rabbi Hamazaka was a chief rabbi for 40 years. Part of the time was Bizman Abayis, and part of the time was after the Churban Abayis. That's how the Gemara says later. Rabbi Chaim Zakkai, here, four lines from the bottom. Rabbi Chaim Zakkai lived 120 years. The first 40 years, he worked for a living, Osek with Prakmatya. Next 40 years, Lomad. And then the last 40 years of his life, at the age of 80, the age of 120, he was the chief rabbi. So the Gemara says in a different place, part of the 40 years of his being chief rabbi were Bizman Abayis, part were after. We're not sure exactly how much was before, how much after. So soon after the Churban Abayis, any ger who would convert, it would be expected of him, Mafrish Rova Lakina. They would set aside money to bring the Korban Oil Sa'if in case the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt any day. It wasn't rebuilt. It's almost 2,000 years. It was not rebuilt any day. So there should have been a lot of envelopes with a lot of money. There were a lot of gerim. After the Churban Abayis, there was an unusual amount of gerim, unusual number of gerim. That's what they write in the history books. That the same thing happened after this, after the Nazi Holocaust. That the children and the grandchildren of the Nazis and the children and grandchildren of the Romans were killing so many Jews, were wondering, what do they have against the Jews? So they started looking into Judaism in recent years. More Germans convert than from any other nationality. They visit Israel, they read books on Judaism, and they fall in love with the religion. They convert. Same thing after the Churban Bayis Sheni. The Roman children and grandchildren wondering, why did their ancestors, why did their parents and their grandparents, why did they kill all the Jews? And then they visited the Jews, they tried to find out. There were many, many converts, more than in any other generation. So it was soon after the Churban Abayis, they were following this din, that a Gersh and his Gaya has to be mafresh that amount of money that he's going to need in order to buy the Karbanas. But after a while, the Gerim was setting aside the money, and the money was disappearing, and there was no Beis HaMikdash being rebuilt. But Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, "Mipnei Atakola, the money that they set aside was Hekdish. It has Kedushas Damim La Mizbeach. There's Kedushas Berek Abayis. That money goes for clean up, paint up, fix up in the Beis Hamikdash. Berek Abayis, fix up the broken things. Then there's Kedusha Mizbeach. Kedusha Mizbeach, sometimes it's Kedusha Guf La Mizbeach, if it's the animal itself. If he set aside money, that is Kedushas Damim La Mizbeach. And the people are using the money was disappearing. They put money in an envelope to use it, b'miucha, to bring a korban hager. And then the money was disappearing, so the people were being in violation of the Dina Me'ilo. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, it doesn't make sense, don't set aside the money. So why did they have this practice in the first place? Gershon is Gabi's Manazeh. Manazeh, after the Churban Abayis, Tzoch Shafrish Revel, why does it have to be Mafrish money? If the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, so he'll put together some money and bring it. Why is Tzoch Shafrish Revel Akin? Avnei Nezer has a suggestion. Pashta says that it's not right. Avnei Nezer has a suggestion that even though the Gemara says, increases Daftes, that the Korban is not Miyakev, Korban is not Miyakev, you're obligated to do the maximum you can do. So we can't be makro karbonis today. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. But since we do have the ability to set aside the money, to be makdish the money, Kedushas Damim La Mizbeach, so if they wouldn't set aside the money, then the Geirus wouldn't be completed. The Geirus is only completed if you do the maximum that you're able to do. So Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash can't be makro the karbonis, but you can be makdish the money. So if they wouldn't be makdish the money, they wouldn't be doing the maximum that they're able to do. That would be miyakev. The Pashta said that is not correct. So then the question was, so what do Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai have the right to make a takana? Ubitla, fanimla le Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai and his bezin, and they bitla mimnea takola. But the, since theoretically, they have the ability to set aside the money to be magdush, kudushas damim lamizbeach, they didn't do it, so it's miyakev and negeris. So he says, once the rabbis made a takana that you're not allowed to, so you can't. So since you can't, so it's not miyakev. The Pashto says that it's a difficult pshat. Usually the Avnei Nezer is a super genius. Usually his pshatim are unbelievably sweet. This one is a fluky. Pashto says that it's not correct. So it's a question, why did they set aside? I mean, the people thought that during their lifetime the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt. So it's not that it's a din. Gershon is Gabbis Manazeh is Mechuyev to be Mafresh. Tzorch Shafresh. That was a practice. Practice was Tzorch Shafresh. But not that you're really Mechuyev to. Although if you're Mechuyev to, so how can it be Mavatla? Pashto says that it's not Miyak. Then the Gemara says, so we already figured out 8 Takonis Derabon. What's the 9th one? The 9th one is a Machloikas Amara. The Idach, what's Takona number 9? Look at Rav Papa Rav Nachman Yitzchok. So what are the two alternatives? Rav Papa Amar Kerem Revai, Rav Nachman Yitzchok Amar, Loshen Shel Zoharis. Rav Papa Amar Kerem Revai. What is Kerem Revai? When you plant a tree, any year of the Shemitah cycle, the 7-year Shemitah cycle. So whenever you plant a tree, so the first 3 years, a lot of times nothing will grow. And if pears do grow, that's called Orla, and Orla is also Bachila Bahano. And you have to burn it. Or the Beretzos and Mitzvahs, Minhan Israf, you have to burn it. And then, in the 4th year, whatever grows, you have to bring to Yerushalayim and eat it, B'kdusha V'tahara. And that's a machlokes HaTanaim, a brachas on Daf Lamed Hey, whether Min HaTorah, the din only applies to kerem, to grapevines, or even to netaravai, to any tree. Is it netaravai, is it keremavai? It's a discussion. So, what's a din? Does Yerushalayim have Kedusha Bizman HaZeh? So that's a machlokes, whether the Mokam HaMikdash is Kitcha Lossid Lava, like Kitcha Lossid Lava. Machlokes HaTanayim and a machlokes HaMarayim and a machlokes the Rambam and the Raibit. The Rambam thinks that Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash was Kitcha Lossid Lava, and the Raibit thinks Bedavka not, like Kitcha Lossid Lava. Gives a whole explanation why. So here the Mishnah says, the din is, if you have Maaseh Sheni Neter Revai, so you have to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it B'kdusha V'tahara. What if it's so I have so much Peiros? Let's say the guy has a farm all the way in Golan. He's going to have to rent trucks to bring a ton of Maaseh Sheni and that to provide to the Beis HaMikdash. They'll go broke. The transportation will cost more than the whole value of the Paris. So the Chumash says, if you live far away from Yerushalayim, it's too much. So then it says, you should be paid in the Maaseh Sheni, paid in the Netter Vai, bring the money to Yerushalayim. You pay there, have a little Maaseh Sheni, set aside a couple of coins. Then you don't bring a sack full of coins. You pay to have 1,000 coins, you pay to them on a bigger coin. Put the coins on a bigger coin. So you bring coins to Yerushalayim, and then you buy, when Asata Kesem, Baboka Batana Bayana Mashiach, then you buy food in Yerushalayim. Has to be premium Pivi Gidule Karka. You buy food in Yerushalayim, and you eat that food, Bigdusha Batahara. So there was a takana in the days of the Bai Sheni that if you live within one day's travel, you draw a circle around Yerushalayim. If you live within one day's travel to Yerushalayim, we don't allow you, Midrabban, we don't permit you to be paid in the Maaseh Sheni that Tervai, you have to bring it to Yerushalayim. What's the reason for that takana? So the Gemara says, Kedela Ater, Shuke Matam, why they make such a takana that you have to bring it? Kedei la'ater shuki Yerushalayim in Paris. We want to have that Yerushalayim should look beautiful. So we insist the people shouldn't be paid if they live so close to, within one day's travel. We insist they should bring the Paris to Yerushalayim so it'll look beautiful. It should look beautiful Yerushalayim. Otherwise people are just going to come with money and buy salami sandwiches. So you won't have any beautiful Paris fruits and vegetables there. So they made a takana, whoever has that the Revai, Maaseh Sheni, within one day's travel to Yerushalayim, has to come to Yerushalayim. So this Tana lived after the Churban HaBayis. The Gemara tells a story. Here, the last narrow line. Karmavai Hava Le Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer lived after the Churban HaBayis, but Mizrach Lud, within the one day's travel. So, and he didn't have, it was too difficult for him to bring it to Yerushalayim. If he would bring it to Yerushalayim, he would be able to eat it in Yerushalayim after the Churban HaBayis. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says he can only eat Maaseh Sheni in Yerushalayim. Whereas Manshi Yesh Mizbeach Bonwe. Because the Pasuk says, V'achalto Sham Lefnei Hashem Alekecha, in Parshas Re'eh it says, you should eat in Yerushalayim Maaseh Sheni. So the Gemara says, Kachim Kalim, you can only be makriv if you have a Mizbeach. If you don't have a Mizbeach, you can't be makriv. And just like you can't be makriv unless there's a Mizbeach, so too you can't eat the Kachim Kalim unless there's a Mizbeach. And here the Pasuk puts together eating Maaseh Sheni with eating kachim kalim. So just like if there's no mizbeach banoi, you can't eat the kachim kalim in Yerushalayim. So if there's no mizbeach banoi, you're not able to eat the Maaseh Sheni in Yerushalayim either. So the Gemara tells the story, it was too much of a tircha for a blazer to transport. He lived within the one day's travel. He wasn't going to go travel to Yerushalayim to eat it. So Ubikish Ablezer Lavkir Lanir is going to be mafkirit and put up a sign that this is Kerem Revai and has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Yeah, but there's no Mizbeach. How are they going to eat Kerem Revai? There's no Mizbeach. So there's a Tosfos in Beitza and there's some Achrayim pointed out. It would appear that din in the Gemara Makkas that you're not allowed to eat Maaseh Sheni if there's no Mizbech Pani only applies to Maaseh Sheni Kerem Revai. You may eat, even though there's no Mizbech Pani, only provided that Yerushalayim has Kedusha as Yerushalayim. So does Yerushalayim retain the Kedusha after the Churban HaBayis? So that's a Machlokes HaTanoim and a Machlokes the Rambam and the Ravid. We're not sure what Reb Lezer holds. So Reb Lezer, Bikish Lavkir Laniim, and Laniim will take it and eat it Yerushalayim. They're allowed to eat it in Yerushalayim? He's assuming Yerushalayim has Kedushas Yerushalayim, that you're allowed to eat it? So that's what Tosfos is not true. Maybe he really holds like Kitchalos and Lover. But the Tanoim made a takana that Netter Avai, within one day's traveling to Yerushalayim, must be eaten Yerushalayim, even if Yerushalayim doesn't have Kedusha. Even if you're going to be Paita the Karim Avai, and you're allowed to eat it, strictly speaking, you're allowed to eat it Chutz Yerushalayim. But still, since the Tanai made a takana that within one day's travel, you have to eat in Yerushalayim, so that you can eat in Yerushalayim even if it no longer has Kedusha Yerushalayim. Because you're eating in B'teres Chulin, you're not eating, but the takana was still in place. So then they told Omer Lo Talmidav, so the students of Rab Lezer Ben Urkas told them, you don't have to go so crazy to be mafkirit to the aniyim, and then they're going to have to be poided, and then they can eat it. No. That's the ninth of the nine takonas. And then the takana that you no longer have to bring it to Yerushalayim. Just be poided and eat it where you want. What are you going to do with the money that you put? You have to throw the money into the Yam HaMelech. You have to destroy the money, because you're not allowed to use the money to buy any other food other than Paris that you're going to eat in Yerushalayim, Bikdusha V'Tahara. So that's the Tosfos here, that's the Shana. Did he necessarily hold Kitcha Lo Salah? He said, not necessarily. Maybe he meant they're going to be, the Aniyim will be Paida, he'll be Paida, and then, but you have to still eat it in Yerushalayim because of the Takana. Within one day's distance, you have to bring it all to Yerushalayim. Then the Gemara going to quote, there's another opinion, what was the ninth Takana? Okay, we'll save that for tomorrow. Good.